in the Russia-Ukraine war. Here, Russia has warned of some significant strikes coming on decision-making centers in Ukraine. This is at least on the surface of it. It's because of a strike that happened on a Luhansk university with a dormitory that was hit, et cetera. But this is stuff that's been, we did this earlier today with Alexander Mercurius, where this is stuff that's been building up for literally many, many months. And now Russia apparently says, you know, you guys have been hitting this from crossing over into NATO airspace up in the Baltics. You've been given targeting information, obviously the specific weapon systems themselves. You have crossed a red line, and now it's time for us to show you we're sick of it, et cetera. What do you think is coming in Kyiv?
Well, we got the first 10 of it from Danny Davis deep dive 2 weeks ago when you had Ambassador Dmitry Polyansky on your show. And, you know, then that was, you know, you know Dmitry as I do. I've met him in person, and great diplomat, but he's not a freelancer. He's not, he doesn't carry the kind of political clout within Russian politics where he could go out and say sort of whatever he wanted to say. He's very much, following what the institutional, what the party line is. So when he came out and was as direct and forthright about the Russian genuine concern that these attacks on civilian, and this was before the attack on the dorm, that that Europe was basically turning itself into a target, and that, you know, when I hear Dmitry Polyansky talk about Europe better watch out, you know that, my God, this is serious. And that was followed up a couple of days later with the Deputy Foreign Minister, Sergei Rybkov, who I've also met and spoke with back in December of 2023. And so when those two gentlemen are out saying the same thing, you know that this is not people's opinion. This is a new shift in policy. Then in the aftermath of that attack on the dormitory, Staroblesk, I think it is, and the murdering of these college students, Lavrov's warning and calling up Marco Rubio saying, you need to get your people out. Now, some said, well, gee, why now? Why is Russia reacting like this now? They had that terrorist attack at the Crocus Theaters, 3 years ago. And I think there are two reasons. Reason number one is that the extensive presence of Russian intelligence assets in these various Ukrainian units and locations, that Russia was not ready to, because if they hit those sites, then that intelligence goes away, and they'd have to forewarn their assets, you know, don't go to work today, call in sick, whatever. So that's one element. The other element is Russia was neither ready nor prepared. They reasoned that if we attack and kill a bunch of Western diplomats or intelligence personnel or military personnel, that we run a risk of the war expanding with NATO coming in then to join in on the attacks. And I think Russia calculated, we're not ready to face that. That was then. They are now, and that's why this message that came.
And what's changed? What militarily is Russia ready for now that they weren't before?
One, they've mobilized, you know, I think their mobilization of troops is up around 2 million. But more importantly, the number of Iskander, Kinshaw, the whole panoply of weapons, they now have they've got a good supply. The Oreshnik as well has been, you know, they've been steadily producing those at a rate of about two or three a month now for the last 16 months. So they've built up a supply that I think they finally calculated, okay, if we have to fight NATO, we can fight NATO. Wow. So I think that was probably the major reason why they didn't react like they're reacting now. Now they're prepared to take it home completely. And I don't think the Ukrainians are prepared to face what they're going to be confronted with. Now, the Europeans say, oh, yeah, we're going to stick it out. We'll see.
And what do you think is coming? Because, I mean, there was some a lot of missiles that were used in Kiev 3 or 4 days ago. There's been obviously lots of multiple drone attacks that have happened over the time. They've hit several concerns, et cetera. Will it be just another one of those, or do you think it'll be something more significant?
No, I think it'll be more significant. not only taking out, making sure that any place that's left that provides a gathering place or record storage for intelligence activities, military activities, those are going to be taken out. Those will be destroyed. I wouldn't be surprised if to see some action taken on the bridges over the Dnieper River to start cutting off Ukrainian units from resupply. So, or at least create greater challenges for that. So I think Russia's prepared to move on a broad front. And I think ultimately one of the reasons to warn the Westerners out of Kyiv is that Russia's going to come back and take it.
Do you still think it's possible they could physically move on Kyiv?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, that would just cause people in Europe, and I know we only have a few minutes left here, that caused a lot of heads to just explode.
Oh, yeah.
At what point do you think this batch of European leaders across the board, Starmer, Macron, Merz, et cetera, are going to say, oh, snap, we better do something different? Or do you think they'll say, you know what, this is what we've been telling you all along, those darn aggressive Russians, now that they're proven that we were right all along, and here they come, they're going to take over all this stuff, and can they do anything about it?
Yeah, the problem they have, problem Europe has, is the disconnect between the leadership and the people. The people are not politically in sync with this. Quite the contrast with what you're seeing with Russia. If anything, up until this point, you could argue that Putin was lagging behind Russian public opinion. Russian public opinion wanted more action against Ukraine, tougher action against Ukraine, and Putin in the past was trying to, you know, keep the war contained. Now Putin has come over and said, okay, that's it. You know, the gloves are coming off. And so it's not that, it's just the exact opposite of what you're seeing in Europe. In Europe,
I'm sorry, Gary, can you bring that headline back up there? This deserves a commentary here. Brother Zelensky is saying that Russia's mobilization proves that Moscow is not preparing for real diplomacy, even though they've been trying to do real diplomacy since April 2022,
right.
2024, just ad infinitum. And it appears to me that he may be ironically right now that no longer is Russia worried about diplomacy. They're going to take it to another level. Is that how you see it?
Well yeah. And in fact, that was Lavrov's message to Rubio, basically, hey, the Anchorage thing, forget about it. Whatever we talked about and agreed back then, it's no longer relevant. And he was just, you know, so the Anchorage process from last summer is dead. And this Russia will settle this militarily. You've got to, you listen to the likes of Medvedev and Karaganov. Putin is now caught up. You know, he's now expressing and voicing what many, many Russians have been saying heretofore. So again, this is the exact opposite. In the West, the leadership is way in front of the public. The public is not supportive of the policy. The leadership wants confrontation. Public doesn't. In Russia, Putin, who is trying to reduce the confrontation with the West, but the public is now demanding it. And Putin said, yes, that it is. We're going to make Kyiv and all of the foreigners who are there pay a heavy price. Therefore, foreigners, get out while you can, because it may be too late in the next few days.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and watch on that too. It's just anguishing to watch to see that it's come to this. I keep thinking back, not just to Istanbul in 2022, but to Putin's June 2024 options. And I think you and I both said at the time that we may look back and just beg for terms that were that good again. And now here we are, and it looks like those terms are no longer on the table. But
yep,
we are where we are.
Yep.
Well, listen, thanks very much for coming on. As always, we really appreciate you clarifying things for us on all these big issues, and really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you later.
We will be back in about 4 minutes from now with Art Berman, oil supply or oil industry expert, and he is going to give it to you straight. He's one of the reasons we have this show, and one of the reasons we're asking him on today is because he will tell it to you like it is. He is unintimidated and uncompromised, and has been for his career, about telling the truth. And he's going to tell you what really is going on, despite what the market seemed to be telling you is happening with the oil industry, what we can expect in our tanks and in our fields and in our transportation systems coming up the rest of this summer into the fall. Tune in then. We'll see you in just a few minutes on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. You know, we don't have sponsors because we hate to hit you over the head with ads. I don't like them. So show a little love back. Subscribe, like, and send this to somebody you care about.